first activity is in the area that you saw in the previous slide, consensus building around conceptual issues, namely mapping the scientific mind. According to your program, this starts at 11 o'clock and runs until 12:30. So I change hats now and ask Abraham to sit next to me, because the two of us are facilitators for this part of the meeting. Please. So, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Pleasure with ours. So this is the first activity that we'll be engaging in. You'll be active straight away. You'll not be sitting in those chairs anymore. What we want to do here is map out what the scientific mind is. And in order to prepare you for that, I'll be giving you a brief introduction on what concept mapping is about, how you do it, and then you will find your way yourselves. It's actually relatively easy. So the concept that we want to get clarity about is called the scientific mind. Now here, you'll find what people are doing when they map a concept. This is a picture of a workshop that I did years ago. It's somewhere in, I think this is in Latin America, I'm not sure. People are actually trying to find the bits and pieces that belong to the concept and putting it together. How does that relate to the actual intellectual structure of the activity? Here you see some result of what may come out of it. It's not the best result. This is what we once did. Actually, one of my own first experiences of concept mapping, where we try to map out what the concept of learning actually means and try to relate it to all kinds of other concepts that you can see here, like instruction and training, language, family, ethics, arts, technology, anything that you can relate to the concept of learning. But this can be done much better. So I'm starting showing you an incomplete example of what concept mapping is. This is a structured way of doing it, and I owe this to the website of the University of Twente, of which we have a representative here, Professor Jim Fong. So this you can find on that website, and I think it's a very good overview of the six steps that leads to creating a nice concept map. You start doing basically what you do when you brainstorm on something. Try to find as many associations as you can that link to that concept. You shouldn't limit yourself there. You shouldn't even discuss does it or does it not belong to it. Just jot it down, and you have it present. So when you have then that chaotic collection of related concepts to the main concept, then you can start organizing it. You can put things in groups, for instance, say, okay, this and that belongs together, and then there are other things also that belong together. Then you can start discovering how those various related concepts associate with the main concepts. And describe those relationships. For instance, you can conclude that in order for the main concept to occur, in order for the scientific mind to occur, one needs communication, for instance. So it's a causal relationship in that case. Or it could be a concept that you need a particular environment around it. That's another description of another kind of link that you establish between those related concepts and the main concept. So you have to think about how everything is related to everything else. Then after having described those relationships and perhaps found a graphical representation for them, you can also think about the importance of the relationship. There's some things that are more important than some other things. Some things may be highly secondary or tertiary even, that you find of far lesser importance, and therefore in presenting the map you would show that by drawing a thin line between those two related concepts, where if it is an important concept, it may be a thick line. And most important is that you don't do this in silence. You do this discussing it all the time. So this is basically it. Yes, you get a product out of it, and we want a product, but the most important part of it is that it's while you do it, while you construct something physically, you exercise your mind, and you get clarity about what that concept really is. So here's an example. Again, this also comes from that same website of the University of Twente, and it's based on folk figures in the Dutch culture, St. Nicholas and his aide, Zwarte Piet. This is a black guy who accompanies the saints and provides services. It has obviously some interesting historical, cultural connotations that I won't discuss here. But this is a reality within this culture, and I discovered as I have used this example in other cultures as well. In Latin America, for instance, seems to be a known figure, and a similar relationship with Santa Claus is basically a figure who distributes presents to kids who behave nicely, whereas his aide, Zwarte Piet, is there to punish them if they don't behave well. It seems to work out somehow in Dutch society, but not too well. Anyhow, that exists, and it's a nice way of seeing how this map works. You see the relationships built into it through verbs that indicate how the main concept St. Nicholas relates to the other concepts. Like Black Peter is the helper of St. Nicholas, and the man has a birthday. So on that birthday, the 5th of December, there are celebrations, and this is the occasion when those presents are being distributed, and equally the punishments for those who deserve them. Next, a very real example that I once got from Ron. It's a map that Tim Berners-Lee, the inventor of the World Wide Web, drew his very first draft of how he thought the World Wide Web should come into being and why. It clearly situates the man himself in the laboratory where he was working, CERN, the European Nuclear Research Laboratory in Geneva, where this all happened. And it had specific purposes for which he was doing this, and you all find this in that map. So this is basically what I could say as an introduction to it. And we can do a very brief exercise. Here's a concept. Let's see. Related concepts to this main concept.
Bees.
Sorry?
Bees.
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 Bees. Honey.
Honey.
I don't hear.
Flower.
The sun. Okay, you see how it happens? Very quickly, you can start generating associated concepts. We don't have to limit ourselves here, and you can do the same when you put there the scientific mind. What are related concepts to the scientific mind?
Questions.
Speak loudly, please.
Systematic.
Yeah. Slightly more difficult, huh? But you have an hour and a half. You have an hour and a half to do it, and Abraham Zaltzman and I will be your facilitators. You're going to organize yourselves in 6 different groups. We had wanted to do a little exercise, actually, to help you do that. But the number of people we have here is not yet the number that we had expected to be here at this particular hour. We'll just leave it to yourselves to self-organize yourself, which is not too difficult. The ground rule, I think, will be make sure, as you're here, you can easily look at each other, how groups are forming. Put groups together of people who do not know each other. As much as you can, avoid being in a group with someone whom you know. This will be your opportunity to get to know people, rather than to work with those whom you already know. And make sure you get 6 groups, and make sure that they are about the same size. I haven't counted the number of people actually here.
33,
so that means 5 or 6 people in a group. And then there are 6 different locations where you are going to work. 2 groups could stay here. You just grab a couple of chairs and organize yourselves. There are 2 rooms that I will give you the numbers of in a minute. I have to find them on my computer. And then there is the attic of the building. You have to get into the elevator, go to the top floor to the attic, where there's a large space, and again, in that large space, 2 groups will be sitting there. Abraham and I will be walking around among those groups and be guiding your work. As well as we can, we will participate if we can at particular moments when we are there, but we will not be in a fixed group. We will be the roving ambassadors of the scientific mind. And then at the end, let us say that if we do this until let's try until 11 o'clock. We will monitor the work. So we have 3/4 of an hour.
No, in noon.
Oh, at noon, sorry, until noon. If we need a little more time, like 5 or 10 minutes more, that's possible. But then we'll tell you to go back to this room. One of the groups that we will select will then present its work, and the others will have a chance to comment on it, on the basis of the work that they have been doing themselves. We want to avoid that we get 6 different presentations that may largely overlap, so that may be a waste of time. It will be one select group that does this, and the other ones will be communicating with them and discussing with them. Each group should have a flap over to work on. We have those yellow stickers, that removable stickers that you can write concepts on. You can reorganize them the way you like. So they will be distributed to each of the groups. And that's basically it. Are there any questions? John?
I take it that the sunflower is irrelevant. Just this scientific mind that you would like us to bring.
That's correct. But there is some beauty in it. That's why the sunflower is still there. Thank you. Any questions for clarification? So if not, then I invite you to self-organize yourselves in those 6 groups of 5 to 6 people each that do not know each other. And I will meanwhile look for the numbers of the rooms where you can meet. 2 groups will stay here. As I'm saying, 2 groups will move to the top of the building, to the attic, and 2 other groups will each move to one of the 2 rooms that I will tell you in a minute. So thank you for your attention. Start organizing yourselves.